Tonight, I'm going to bring a message that'll be a great help to believers who need encouragement and assurance. And I think that includes every believer. We need some assurance, confidence, need strength for our hope. And I'll be speaking tonight from 1 John chapter 5. That's where the message will be taken from this evening. And I'm entitling it, The Sufficiency of Christ. If that ever is made clear to us, that our sufficiency is of Christ. Quit looking for it anywhere else, in anyone else, in any other thing except Christ. And I'll be able to help you tonight if you're here on the sufficiency of Christ. He is sufficient. Now, I'm going to speak from Acts 22 in a moment, but I want you to turn first to 1 Timothy. I want to show you from 1 Timothy 1 the importance of this testimony of Paul. Paul's testimony, and the importance of it. Writing later, he said this in 1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying. It's true. It's faithful. It's certain. It's not to be doubted nor debated. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation, worthy of acceptation by all. It's God's word, and it's worthy of acceptance by all men, not some, everybody. You know, we ought to preach expecting men to believe us and women to believe us, because it's God's word. Why shouldn't they believe us? So Paul said, this is a true saying. It's certain. And it ought to be accepted by all, that Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, actually, literally came into this world. He was in the world. He made the world. The world didn't know him, but he was here. The Word was made flesh. Dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came into the world. And the purpose for which he came into the world was to save sinners. The natural man tries to find some merit in the creature, some worthiness in the creature. But God came to earth and lived on this earth and died on a cross, was buried, and rose again to save not meritorious people, but sinners. Not those who are worthy, but those who are unworthy. Why does your master eat with sinners? Because he came to save them. Because those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. He came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. This is no false modesty, no false humility. This is not Paul reciting his catechism. This is Paul speaking from the heart. He really, honestly felt he was the chief of sinners. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, for God's glory, for the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the accomplishment of God's purpose. For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show all patience, kindness, long-suffering. A pattern.
a pattern, a picture, a type to you, to me, to them which should hereafter, in days to come, believe on him, to life everlasting. So that's why we ought to look at Acts 22 with a great deal of interest. This man's a pattern. This man's a pattern. His experience is a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on Christ, the life everlasting. Now, there's some things in his experience that will not be duplicated, have not and will not, in the first 11 verses of Acts 22. Christ himself spoke to Paul. Audibly. Christ himself appeared to Paul personally. He said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord as one born out of a due time. He said, the gospel which I believe and which I profess was not taught me by men. You can't say that. I can't say that. The gospel was taught me by men. I have not seen the Lord with these eyes. Paul did. We're not going to duplicate that. You see here in Acts 22, verse 7, I fell to the ground. I heard a voice speaking to me. Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus Christ. Don't ever believe any human being other than an apostle who says the Lord spoke to me. Not so. He speaks through his word. But see, an apostle had to have seen the Lord and had to have received his gospel from the Lord. Just a moment, turn to Galatians chapter 1, just for a moment. And Paul gives us that experience. In Galatians 1, verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I didn't receive it of man. I wasn't taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, when Paul saw the Lord, God revealed himself to him. He went off into Arabia, somewhere else. He didn't confer with the other apostles. He was taught the gospel by Christ. But this experience here that he relates, verse 10 of Acts 22, and he said, what shall I do? I said, what shall I do? And he said, you go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. Now then, here's where we pick up the experience that's a pattern. And this will be the experience of everyone who comes to faith. You, me, everyone else. He said, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of the Jews which dwelt there, came to me. God sent Paul a messenger, a preacher, a devout man, a faithful preacher, a preacher of good report among believers, everybody who dwelt at Jerusalem, a man who knew the gospel. God sent Paul a faithful messenger. Now, that's true of everybody whom God saved. A person may be in the world, rotten and corrupt, openly evil, abusive, like the demoniac, or the thief on the cross. But there's going to be a messenger. There's going to be a preacher. A person may be in the pew. He may be a nice, religious person following the traditions of his fathers, believing doctrine, walking in morality, as Cornelius, as Lydia. But God's going to send him a preacher. A person may be in the pulpit. This man, Saul of Tarsus, was a religious teacher. And so a person may be in the pulpit, a preacher, a teacher, an elder, a leader of religious men. But God's going to send him a preacher. And that's what he's showing us here. One man called Ananias came to me. Came to me. You see, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm not limiting the power of God. The Lord can do all things. But the pattern, the method of grace is preaching. You can read, and all men ought to read. But it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching. Ananias came preaching. Philip came to the eunuch preaching Christ. Paul came to Lydia preaching. And I dare say that 99% of the people sitting in this building this morning who know God came to know him through the preaching of the gospel. Preaching. How are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to be, how are they going to preach except they be sent? Turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, and this is one of the tragedies of our generation, is preaching has been relegated to the scrap heap. Today we're majoring on singing, socializing, entertaining, gathering people together for various reasons. But Isaiah 52, verse 6 says this, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I'm he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Preaching. Oh, how blessed we are when God sends us a preacher. Preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God. Go ye into all the world, Christ said, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, preach the gospel. The Spirit of God, through the preaching of the word, saves sinners. That's so. Now here's the second thing. With that preacher came the miracle of sight. And this Ananias stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. This is a picture of regeneration, the new birth. Two things are necessary for sight. Listen to me. Two things are absolutely necessary in order to see. What are they? Well, the first is a healthy eye. What's the other? Light. If there's no light, I don't care how healthy your eye is, you're not going to see. A person cannot see unless there's light. And two things are necessary in order to see Christ. Salvation, the gospel. One is a healthy eye. An eye. The seeing eye is of the Lord. The hearing ear is of the Lord. Christ said they have eyes but they don't see. Blessed are your eyes, you see. Two things are necessary to see. One is a healthy eye, light. The other is light, the Word. That's the reason this is utterly foolishness to talk about a person being saved before he hears the gospel. That's foolishness. That's talking about people seeing before the light turned on. Can't be done. You say, I see. You see whom? You don't see anybody unless he's revealed, unless he's preached. I see substitution. You don't see substitution unless it's preached to you. Well, I see Christ died for sinners. You see Christ died for sinners because somebody told you that, read it to you. You've got to have eyes to see, and you've got to have light, or you don't see anything. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Scripture said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the world was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And this whole hemisphere was bathed in God's light. And one day you, dead, dark, and blind, and God gave you eyes, but then he said, let there be light. Fella said, Christ, gospel, blood, redemption, and you saved. Two things are necessary to hear. A healthy ear, and what else? A voice. For the next 10 seconds, you're not going to hear anything. You've got ears. Christ, salvation, faith, belief. I see. Sure you see. I said it. We spoke. So Ananias came. And he said, old blind man, see. And God came with his blessed gospel, the light of the glorious gospel of the blessed God in the face of Christ Jesus, and said to you, receive thy sight. And you opened your eyes, and you saw. You saw the Christ that was preached to you. You saw the Christ that was revealed to you. You saw the Christ that was manifested to you. In the Word. And you heard good news because a man was preaching the good news. That's exactly right. Let me read you a couple of scriptures over here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, but love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. He's not born of God because he loves. He loves because he's born of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He's not born of God because he believes Jesus is the Christ. He believes Jesus is the Christ because he's born of God. He is born of God. And everyone that sees Christ doesn't have eyes because he sees because he's got eyes. See what I'm saying? I don't have life because I saw Christ. I saw Christ because God gave me life and revealed Christ to me. It's essential. It's essential. I'll tell you this, way back here in chapter 7 of Acts. Chapter 7 of Acts. Verse 51. This man, Saul of Tarsus. This man, Saul of Tarsus. He had heard Stephen. He had heard Stephen. Is that where it is in Acts chapter 7? But anyway, he'd heard Stephen. When they stoned Stephen, they laid their coats at the feet of a young man called Saul. He heard Stephen, but he hadn't heard God. And here in Acts 22, life. All right, let's look at the next statement. And there came unto me, Acts chapter 22, verse 12, Ananias came to me, and he said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Seriously. A lot of controversy in this day about election, about who chose whom, and when, and why. But let me ask you a question. Which would give you the greater joy, greater happiness? For you to choose Christ or to hear Him say, I chose you. Now come on. Which would give you the greater joy? But you'd run up and down this country saying, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Say it 10 million times if you want to. I choose Jesus. But I'd rather hear one time what Saul heard out here. The God of our fathers chose you. That makes a lot of difference. That makes a lot of difference. And I'll tell you, God's sovereign grace and election give me the greatest joy of anything in all this world. He chose me. Which would give you greater peace? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, assurance and peace. Which would give you the greater peace for you to base your hope? To base your hope and confidence, your hope of eternal life, on your choice of Him or His choice of you? There's no comparison. He chose Abraham, and I'm confident Abraham's in glory. He chose Jacob. He said, Jacob have I loved. I'm confident he's in glory. But a lot of people at the judgment said, Lord, we preached in your name. Cast out devils in your name. Done many wonderful works in your name. I never knew you. I didn't choose you. Oh, I tell you, that which gives me the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest confidence, is to hear Him say, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Turn back to the book of John. Let's find this in the book of John. John 13, verse 18. John 13, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen. I know whom I've chosen. John 15. Verse 15, listen. Henceforth I call you not servants. The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I call you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. Ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit. Ephesians 1. Go to Ephesians 1. Listen to our Lord here. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because, beloved of the Lord, you beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. 1 Peter 2, 9. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. When I stand before his throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, and love thee with an unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Chosen, not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Sinner, see. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. And that choice will never be reversed. That's the next thing he said to him. That you should know his will. His will. His will. Most preaching today talks about our will. Saul knew God's will of commandment. He had the Old Testament law and commandments. I shall have no other God before me. Saul knew that. I shall not make unto thee any graven image. He knew that. I shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. He knew the will of commandment. But what he didn't know was the will of redemption. This is what Moses was interested in. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses, Exodus 33 it is, Moses says, Lord, in verse 18, he said, Lord, I beseech thee, show me your glory. And God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy
on whom I will show mercy. That's God's glory. That's His greater glory. And that's what He's talking about here. God hath chosen thee that you should know His will of redemption, His will of mercy, His will of grace. I want you to turn to Hebrews 10. Let me read to you about that will. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. This is our Lord Jesus speaking, Hebrews 10. In the volume of the book it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That's, Ananias said, Saul, God hath chosen thee that you should know his will. This is what Christ is talking about. I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first commandments and Levitical law and sacrifices and priesthood, that he may establish a second, Christ's priesthood, Christ's sacrifice, Christ's righteousness, by the which will, the will of God, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's the will we're talking about here. That you should know his will. Christ said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, entrusted in my hands, to be redeemed, to be made righteous, to be made holy, to be sanctified, I'll lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. And everyone whom God saves, they're going to hear a preacher. And they're going to be given divine light to see Christ. And they're going to be those whom he chose. And they're going to be taught. They're going to know his will of redemption. It's all in Christ, met in Christ, fulfilled in Christ, complete in Christ. Well, know his will. And look at, let me hasten on and give you this. Back in Acts 22. And you're going to see the just one. Look how that's written. Capital J-U-S-T. Capital O-N-E. The just one. A person. The scriptures often speak of the just one. He said, I'm a just God and a Savior. Peter said in Acts 3, you need to turn over here and see this. In Acts 3, you need to see this now. Of whom do we speak that you should know or see the just one? Acts 3, verse 14. You denied the Holy One and the just. You denied the just one and desired a murder to be granted to you. Whom shall I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus? You desired the murderer and denied the just one. Acts 7. Turn to Acts 7, 52. Acts 7. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers. Who is he? Saul, receive thy sight. God chose you that you should know his will of redemption. His will to redeem a people. And you should see with eyes of faith and in the word the just one of whom the prophets wrote. The just one, just before God. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The just one, just before the law. In him there was no sin. The just one, just before me, and I find no fault in him. As our representative enabling God to be just and justifier and making us just before God. You see him? And this is the last one. Listen. And you should hear the voice of his mouth. Our Lord kept saying in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. And I give them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. John 5:25, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the time is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. But brother man, how does a sinner hear the voice of Christ? This is the way. We hear the voice of a man preaching the gospel in men's language, in men's words. But to only hear that man's voice and words is of no value. When God is pleased to enlighten the sinner, the words preached by the man become his words. He speaks through the man. Cornelius heard Peter. But when Peter spoke to him, the Lord spoke through Peter. He heard the Lord's words. It's his gospel we hear. It's his love of which we preach. It is his grace that the Spirit of God bestows. It is his mercy, not ours, his mercy. We're made to rejoice in his righteousness, in his intercession. And turn to John 4. Listen to this. You know the Samaritan woman met our Lord there at the well. And she said, when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. He said, I'm he. And she listened to him, taught her. She went running down to the village and told all the people there. And they came running out. And they sat down and he taught them. And then they said in verse 39, John 4, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days and taught them. And many more believed because of his own word, and they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying. We've heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. See, if you only hear the voice of a man, if a man talks you into a position or a profession, some other man can talk you out of it. If the Lord God reveals Christ to you, and nobody can talk you out of it. If he reveals his word, oh, he'll use a preacher. He'll use a messenger. But you'll hear him. And you'll believe, not because of what that man said, because you've heard him yourself. I know whom I have believed, don't you? And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to him against that day.